Welcome to the New Life Millbrook Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about this podcast or other resources, please visit nlmillbrook.com.
This is not the end. I feel joy. I release that word. I can't make it happen, but I release the word that's happening over my life. You know what's the great thing about joy, Mom? Is joy doesn't necessarily make the problems go away. But they give you a proper perspective of victory through those problems. Just because you have joy doesn't mean that everything's fine. My word. How many times has life kicked me in the face? But I could still have joy. In other words, I'm not letting something steal my peace. And that's what the enemy's wanting to do, is he wants to be the ultimate peace stealer, because if he can steal your peace, he makes you agitated. And if he can make you agitated, he makes you move before your time. He makes you make decisions before you're supposed to make decisions. And I just feel like God right now is wanting you to have peace of mind so that you can make proper decisions at the proper time in this season of your life. When you're feeling pressure to make a decision and you don't know why, I got to make a decision now, and you're feeling anxious. No, that's not God. I feel peace needs to come back in and joy through all these processes in the name of Jesus. God's good. The front row likes him. But I feel like God is good in this place for everybody. Come on, somebody. I want you just to stay in this mode, but have a seat real quick. Pastor Allen is currently ministering in Chelsea, Alabama, at the glorious Church of Chelsea today. I found that out 5 minutes before service started. So I thought I would make that announcement that he was out. And so I just know right now he's getting ready to preach, so I know that when he goes, our church goes with him, and that the power of God that's in him that flows here flows everywhere, amen? So I'm expecting great reports. You know, when you send out your pastors to minister and another church receives a blessing, that's an investment that you have made that you can reap a harvest from. All right, there we go. It's going to be one of those. So this week has been an interesting weeks. Have you ever had a week where you just felt off? Not bad, not sick, just different. At first I didn't know what it was, and I realized there was an opportunity for change. And that may sound odd, because a lot of people think that we can take any moments to change. And while that may be true, I feel like there's these moments that God decides that he speeds up the process if we partner with him. And like the story of Jonah, you know, when Jonah is weeping and sorrowful over Nineveh, he just plops himself down and God causes a tree to grow seemingly out of nowhere in record time to give him shade. That is an expedited change. Okay, how cool would it be if you planted an oak tree and all of a sudden, 20 minutes later, there's a 30-foot oak tree? That would be fantastic. That's kind of an expedited change. And I felt like this week was an expedited move of something that was going on. And I couldn't figure out what it was. I just feel like it's fast growth. And I felt like God wanted some things broken in my life that has been broken in my life. And he wanted to replace it with something that worked. I said it earlier, but I believe that God is willing to make an exchange today. You know, Nate talked about exchanging rotten milk for fresh stuff, and I feel like there's a lot of things that need to be returned back to customer service. The word says he changed his beauty for ashes. I still don't know how he benefits in that. But I think we have to move past the idea that we need to bring something valuable to God for him to benefit. Because God doesn't need our what we call valuable, or what we deem as important. He just wants you. And I know that God right now is wanting to make these exchanges, but he needs people or wants people to be willing to make these shifts. God speaks to Abraham and says, Abraham, go into another land. Abraham could have said, no, I'm good. It's very possible, but he didn't. Because God is always wanting to do something internal first before an external reaction takes place. In other words, God didn't take Abraham when he slept and throw him in the promised land. And when Abraham woke up and goes, my God, where am I? He goes, oh, so what happened was I wanted you to move, so I moved you. But I feel like at times we have this feeling that's what God is going to be doing to us. Well, and when he's ready, he'll just make it happen. And I feel like right now what God is wanting to do is to make this great exchange here. And, man, I can just feel his presence this morning. Yeah. Like, my hands are sweating. Like, I don't have sweaty hands. But I know that's really gross for people, but, like, do you have those moments, those triggers where you know that God's there, whether it's goosebumps or you get nervous or something, and they're all firing right now. And it's so obvious. It's distracting me. The word I'm hearing. I'm beginning to shift my people so that this place will be known for my presence and power. My presence will be like a fountain that is not shut off, and people will come far and wide and get refreshed. This is not based on strategies, but on willingness. This is not like the moves of the past or even the ones that you're used to, but a new thing. Going to be a thing my way, on my terms. Can you see it coming? That's the word that I'm hearing right now. 1 Corinthians 14, Paul tells us that when a word's given, judge it. Judge it. If that recognized with somebody, we'll judge it. Let's go with it. God's doing something. Take it back. God wants to do something. The only thing, let me put it this way, the only that which is positioned beyond your current understanding is positioned to bring change. In other words, you know what you know. But it's the things you don't know that somebody else does that causes change to take place in your life. I've been raised in a church like this my whole life. And churches like this get a lot of bad press. I've heard it once, I've heard it a million times. Oh, you go to one of those churches. Growing up, most of my friends were Baptist or Reformed or Church of Christ or whatever it may be. And those are all great. I've got nothing against it. And my friends were nice, and they'd hang out with me, and we'd play sports together, and we could go to the movies together. We could do a lot of things, and I could stay at their house, but they couldn't stay at mine because their parents were afraid they'd come back speaking in a new language. Well, this group of people thinks it's funny. Back then, that was a real fear. And a lot of people was like, if they just hang around with them too long, they're just going to come back and boom. Anytime there's a verse on Holy Spirit, my friends would look at me. And there was tension, like I was going to do something weird. As if reading Acts chapter 2 was my trigger word and I was going to snap. And make me moo like a cow in class or something, like, it was crazy. And if for some reason they could spend the night, I would pray, God, tomorrow morning in church, please don't do anything weird. I don't want you to freak out my friends. Would God listen? Never. Never once. Like, we would go through these spurts, weeks and months of just kind of normal church, where you could have came from any church in America and been like, oh, I was totally wrong. And then on that Sunday, it was like, we used to have banners. And people would grab a banner and come marching through the banner. My friend would be like, what is that? Like, I don't know. Like, normal people who are normally quiet would, like, that would be their Sunday to freak out. I remember my friend Josh coming one day, and we're at this church, and this lady is just walking down the aisle. No one prayed for her. No one touched her. She just fell out. Pow! And I looked, and I went back to normal. And Josh goes, yo, should we call an ambulance? And I'm like, nah, she's good. And like, people would just walk around her or just step over her as if that's normal. As if you were walking through Walmart and somebody just goes, ka-cow, and you go, yeah, that's normal. Like, that was the stuff. I remember one day we had this guy, an older gentleman. I brought a friend with me to church. These are one of the days I hope our Facebook isn't working. I brought a friend to church, and this pastor was preaching, and it was a good message. It was nothing like, I said, I'm a preacher. I do it for a living, done it for a long time. So I understand when you say that was a good one, and yeah, it was pretty good. And it was one of those, meh. Like, it wasn't one of those where people were standing and waving hankies and hooting and hollering. It was emotional. It was just one of those, cool message. Everything was chill. And out of nowhere, this dude stands up in the middle of his message and yells, I got a word! And I look down. My friend looks over, and he starts yelling in tongues and then sits back down. And then the pastor keeps preaching as if nothing happened. My friend goes, dude, what was that? And I went, y'all, I lied. Don't judge me. I didn't know what to say. I just said he had Tourette's. Because I felt like Tourette's was more understandable. And he goes, oh, okay. Don't judge me, Mom. I was 16. I had no idea what to do. And I thought Tourette's was more believable than a move of God. I'm feeling so much resistance right now. I had a love-hate relationship with the move of God. Like, I loved it. When I felt like it was time for a move of God. But I hated it when it was embarrassing. Can anybody else relate to that? Like, the 1 week after years of trying to get a coworker to come to church, they come that week and you're like, God, let's just, like, make the water cold and we'll slowly heat up the temperature. Like, it's kind of like, let's pend up the crazy. And then we'll get them used to it and see that we're really cool people. And then one day, like a year and a half from now, if you got your Bible, open to Hebrews chapter 5. Maybe that's what I should have called my message today, spiritual Tourette's. I don't know. Today's message is going to be different. We got one verse, not one passage that's like the entire book of the Bible, because I know I've tricked y'all before. We've got one verse that we're really going to dive into. I'm going to tell a story, and then we're going to talk about the verse again, okay? Hebrews 5:14, and the NIV, it says this, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. King James Version has a little bit different look at it, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to to discern good and evil. I know I tell y'all a lot of my dirty laundry. So what's another one? You haven't left yet. I want to be a normal pastor. I've been a part of a few churches that when we walk in, like the room atmosphere changes. Like when we walk into a room where it's a pastor's conference and then we show up and everybody goes, and I'm like, well, I don't smell. So it must be because of where I pastor. Yeah, they'd call us that church, and then we would make jokes. They would make jokes that, like, we would, about us dancing with snakes, which never happened. Or that we would play Russian roulette with communion because no one knew where the poison was. Yeah, you can drink poison and nothing deadly happens. Yeah, so it was. They would just make jokes. And you know what? It was funny at times, but after a while, that kind of weighs on you. And when you feel like in your own people who are supposed to be colleagues. Like, I may not agree with everything, and they may not agree with everything that I do, but eventually when you go up north and you get tired of being called a redneck piece of trash just because you're from Alabama. Does that make sense? It's similar. And I just wanted to be a pastor that could deliver a word that changed people's lives. And then when I walk into a place, I could just be Pastor Pete. And for years and years, I have done my absolute best to be that guy. Preach the word. Be funny. Lead people to Christ. And all those are great things. When it comes to the gifts, there are some that would be appropriate and some that were not. And the other day, my dad and I had this conversation. And we're talking in the youth room. I'm sweeping the floors. We start talking about the church and some things that were taking place and some things that I would like to see take place here. And so he asked, what do you see? And I said, Dad, to be honest, I think we got too safe. I miss feeling nervous when I came to church. Like I didn't know what was going to happen. There's nothing about a word, nothing about music, nothing about offerings. But I told him I miss that feeling. He agreed. We talked. He walks out. And I thought everything was cool. I love talking about my dad. We talk a lot. Well, obviously not when he leaves town. But we talk a lot, and when we're talking about things of God, it's even better for me. I just love talking to him about that stuff. The next day, that was on a Monday, on Tuesday, he tells me he's bringing me lunch. To be transparent, it was leftovers that somebody else made because poor 65-year-old man couldn't make his own meals while I was at home alone with two kids. Not pointing fingers, but somebody made him food and didn't make me any. Just stretching over there. And just feel the God's moving over here. So he decides he's going to bring me leftovers. And typically that means that if he's going to bring me lunch, which is rare, but if he does, not because he doesn't, because typically Dad doesn't eat lunch. If you know my dad, he wakes up working and then he just falls over sometime. And he just doesn't eat. And so I'm like, okay, cool. And when he does bring lunch, it's typically he walks into my office, sets my food down, then walks to his office, sits down, and we eat and work in our offices. So he says, hey, food's here. I'm like, awesome. So I get up, and I go to make food. And I turn with my plate to walk to my office. He goes, what are you doing? I'm eating. Sit down. Listen, I'm 36 years old, and I got kids of my own. But in that moment, I was 8. And when Dad said, sit down, you sit down. It wasn't mean. It wasn't aggressive. It was a normal voice. Everything was good. And we started talking about random things. Just life things. Nothing deep, nothing spiritual, just nothing. And I don't know how we got on this topic, but we started talking about alcohol. Not what kind of shots we like to take, just alcohol in general. So I felt like I had to clarify that. And so he said, so what's your stance? And I said, my stance is pretty clear. Don't get drunk with wine. It's just that easy. But whiskey, no, I'm just playing. Don't be drunk. Don't be drunk. It's very clear. I said, but, you know, I said, to be honest with you, Dad, I just don't like the feeling. I don't like the feeling. He said, what do you mean you don't like the feeling? I was like, I don't like that buzzy, tipsy feeling. It's just not my thing anymore. That was high school. I got delivered. And he said, you don't like being tipsy. And I went, as if that was a wrong thing to say. I'm like, no, Dad, I don't. Why? Why are you pressing on this, Dad? I said, I think this is a weird conversation to have with my pastor, but okay. I don't like the feeling of being out of control. Now, I don't know if this actually happened or not, but how I remember it, he sat back in his chair and he had a smirk on his face. And I knew in that moment, I wasn't talking to my dad anymore. It was one of those weird moments where I went, oh, you got to be kidding me. I didn't see it coming. And this entire time has been a set up conversation between me and God. And my dad was just asking innocent questions, and he had no idea what was going on. But in that moment, I knew I could feel something shifted, and I went, Pete, you just set yourself up? I could feel God sitting in that chair, and all I could think was, please, no. And for the rest of my day, I was on edge. And I was like, you know, God's going to embarrass me at some point today. Like, I felt his presence so strong, like, he's going to take this opportunity because I said I want to be in control, and he's going to embarrass me. And I was tense all Tuesday. And Ashley was coming home, and she said, hey, we got to go to Costco. And I went, uh-oh. He's going to make me lose my mind in Costco. I'm going to be the guy on the front page of the newspaper who's mooing like a cow. Or clucking like a chicken, trying to find some, I don't know, do they sell chicken feet at Costco? I don't know, I'll be looking for corn or something. And I'm like, God, what's happening at Costco? And I heard him laughing. And I'm like, this isn't good. Y'all was so nervous. You know, like when your friends, like when you play a prank on your friend and they go, I'm going to get you back. And then you connect with them later on and you are just on edge that at any given moment, they're going to get me back. So every time that they go to like scratch their head, you jump. That was my Tuesday. And I made it home and nothing bad happened. Ashley goes, what you doing? Like, you're acting weird. And I'm like, I know. Just as if he's hiding around the corner going to, like, play peekaboo and, like, jump out and jump scare me. But that would have been a cool story. Didn't happen. And all night long I could hear my words, I want to be in control. Wednesday comes. I do a chapel service. It goes good. I meet with Dad about what's supposed to take place on Wednesday with our guest speaker, Pat Harrison, and he tells me, these are what his expectations, and I went, done. I will take care of it all. It'll all be done, I promise. Nothing crazy that day. In fact, it was a pretty easy day. So at 6 o'clock, I show up to make sure that everything's okay, and at 5:55, our soundboard crashes. So we yank out the youth one, which we've used before. They decided it didn't want to work either. And the internet goes down. And now we have a reception room that has no sound that's supposed to have sound. We have a microphone here that we use for guests. It's gone missing. And I even asked Bill, and Bill's like, yeah, I've seen that recently, but no one now can find it. And the two things that my dad wanted was three songs of worship and the lapel microphone that I promised we would have are gone. And I went, cool. Dad, I know I told you I had something under control, but I don't. We have no sound. We might can get two microphones to work, maybe. And I can't find her microphone. It's gone. Which Dad goes, all right, whatever. Which is a miracle. I went, you're being very jovial about this, Dad. He's like, yeah, it happens. I'm like, does it? Then he goes, so I need you to tell people why we don't have sound. I'm like, and there it is. Great. I knew it wasn't my fault. It was just a fluke. And so I get up to explain all this. And I do my best to explain, and then I have to immediately run off the stage to grab a 1975 soundboard from our volleyball team so that I can ghetto rig a speaker system for the reception, in which we have six speakers, and for some reason, I get two to work. And I went, you know what, after today, two is great. Two is better than nothing. We're running two speakers. So I come back in, and I get to listen to a message on love. To which God is hitting me over the head. Especially when she took out the word love in Corinthians 13 and replaced it with God. Because it says God is patient and kind. God doesn't envy or boast. Not arrogant or rude. Doesn't insist on it its own way. When I heard that, I went, so you're not going to prank me. He said, nope. I was on the edge of my seat so much so that my wife pokes me in the side and goes, what are you doing? You're sitting like Quasimodo. Like I was on the edge, hunched over, because I knew God was about to do something. And he wanted me to understand that he wasn't going to embarrass me. And he wasn't going to freak me out at Costco. He wasn't going to throw me under the bus. In fact, he does the exact opposite. He says, if you want to be in control, that's fine. Then you can give what you've got. Miss Harrison gives mom and dad a word about moving in the supernatural and that God is willing to make a shift. So on Thursday, I'm cutting the grass and I hear through the lawnmower, through my music with headphones on, so what do you want? And then floods of memories came in. And how I used to push so hard to hear his voice. And I always wanted the next thing. And I remember as a child being able to see things that I thought everyone else could see, but they couldn't. And I found myself in a hot September day, weeping on a mower, probably looking like a crazy person. Trying to drive a mower with tears in my eyes, very sporadically. Can you put that verse back up again on the NIV? But solid food's for the mature who have, by constant use, have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. How do you distinguish good from evil? What's it say? Anybody? What's up? Train themselves. Then I read it in the King James. And this is what the King James Version says. But strong meat belongeth to them that are a full age, who even by reason of their senses. It's an interesting word there. It's only used one time in the entire Bible. And it's used as an organ of perception to sense something. It's also used in a lot of Greek texts that we get our five senses from. So when I'm reading this passage, I have this moment where I realize that God is telling us that even with our five senses, we can discern things. Can I tell you how weird that sounds? And then I remembered as a child, little kid, living in Slap Out. I remember this. I've tried to block it out because I thought maybe it's just Pete being crazy. Hyper imagination. But I remember specifically on an October day, we didn't really run our air conditioner back then. We turned attic fans on. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You open your windows, you had this big fan, whoom, everything brings the air in. Got fond memories of it. I thought that's how it was supposed to be, but it's cool, it's crisp, it's night. And out of nowhere, I hear my door shut. And my room gets hot. Hot, hot. And I open my eyes, and at the foot of my bed was something. Something big, something scary. And I went, what do I do? The only thing I knew what to do was to throw my blanket over my head and cry out to Jesus. So I did. And almost instantaneously, my door opens back up. The air changes. And I haul butt into my parents' bed where it was safe. We're going to fast forward. I remember in this very sanctuary as a kid, walking through the back door, should be over here, right? Yeah, door's over here. Messing with my friends, and I opened the door, and my hair stood up on the back of my head. And I knew without a shadow of a doubt something was here, something good. God was here. Can I tell y'all something? I have, with my own senses, if you want to, been able to walk in. Man, I remember walking through this back door on a Wednesday night for a worship service, for a prayer service. And I remember Zach Camp was up here playing the guitar. And this lady greeted me in the back. And the moment she shook my hand, I went, okay, it's going to be like that. I could sense something. And I remember going, that person's about to flip out. I told my wife. She said, what you mean? I said, you'll see. So she sat down about four rows in, and I sat right behind her. I didn't pray for her. I wasn't praying in tongues because I knew it's about to get real. And out of nowhere, boom, she loses it. Flops on the floor, starts speaking in a British accent, in a man's voice. And I'm like, no, we're not doing that. Name of Jesus, get out. Yeah. Boom, gone. She spits up. It was nasty. I look up. Zach, at that moment, was in the corner, hiding behind his guitar. It's still one of the highlights of my life. I'll never forget looking up at Zach. He's like, mm-mm. No. For most of my life, especially when I fully committed everything to Christ, I was known as the guy that stuff happens to. When I'm around youth camp, somebody who's possessed, when the peak gets close, they're going to freak out. I could sense it. And it wasn't like I felt God going, hey, Pete. You just felt it in everything inside, like something ain't right. Now, I've never seen an angel, but I've heard plenty of people who have. I've never heard an audible voice of God, but I've heard plenty of people who have. But I have sensed it with my skin. I've seen it with my eyes. And one other time, I remember a taste. Just a bad taste in my mouth. Like, nasty. can't explain it. Y'all, can I tell you something? As long as we are relegating God moving in the gifts into things that we can comprehend, we're going to limit ourselves to the things that we already have. And so I tell you my story because as I'm cutting grass, I didn't park the mower. I didn't clean off the mower. I'm not even sure if I stopped the mower. All I know is I jumped up and took off running because I knew exactly what God wanted me to ask you today, and that was this. Do you want it? I know there's a lot of people who have experienced a lot of bizarre things. But desiring God is the starting point for a move of God. And if you don't want that move, you have to ask yourself why. Is it because you had a bad experience and you're freaked out? Because you don't want to be made fun of? Because what do people think about you? Because whatever it may be, what you have to get down to is the why. Why are you not wanting this to take place? Just because you're saying, oh yeah, I want a move of God. Just because it's the right thing to say, but if you really don't because you're scared of it, ask yourself why. Just saying, yeah, sure, I'll take it, is not the right answer. This is not like the former Soviet Union, before it crashed, collapsed, there was pastors praying for years that the gospel could get into the USSR. Years. I got to sit down with one of these pastors in Kiev, Ukraine, and we got to talk for a little bit. And he was talking about the prayer services they would have, even when they were still in the Western bloc of the Union. And they would be praying that God would do something. Then, seemingly, for a lot of people out of nowhere, it opens up. And the charismatic movement comes flooding in. Signs everywhere you can go, miracles all over the place, deliverances out the yin-yang. Like everywhere, it wasn't in a church service, it was everywhere. In the marketplace, people were just boom, 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 boom. And you know who the number one opposition was? The same men who were praying for the church to come in. This is what he tells me. That his prayer group of pastors was the ones who hated everything that was going on because it didn't happen how they thought it should happen, when they thought it should happen, and with whom they thought it should happen with. And I feel like our churches are like that. We all want a move of God as long as it's my move of God. As long as I'm comfortable with it. See, like, I like... And we all do this with Jesus. Like, I like my Jesus to be like this. I like my Holy Spirit to be like that. Like, I like my move of God's to be where you can come in and you can feel his presence, but no one freaks out. I'm being real, y'all. Don't pull back now. No one freaks out. There's no banners. No one's doing cartwheels. Especially grown men. Uncle Dave knows what I'm talking about. Like, no. I want my move of God to be where we have a sweet presence of God, where somebody can stand up, articulate what's happening. I go, I understand that. And then maybe, just maybe, that person goes, and if you have healing issues or want healing, come up front, and then we lay hands on people, and it just helps. And then we all do one more song, and we're all excited, and then we leave. It's my idea of a good service. But what happens when God wants to do something different? Here's the problem with the Pharisees and Sadducees is that they all wanted a Messiah just on their terms. And they were willing to crucify the Messiah because it wasn't what they expected. And I guess today we have to ask ourselves right now, are we willing to crucify a move of God because it's not what we want it to be? Stop talking to myself. I'm going to watch this video because I'm looking right at myself. This is real talk. Like, can't say I pray in tongues, and I'm proud of it. Proud of it. until my Baptist friend comes close by. And the person behind me goes, shalalala! And I'm like, dadgummit. And I'm going, I got to explain that now. Like, I want to, like, that bothers me. Why? Because it embarrasses me because I feel like their opinion is more important than the deliverance that they could get. You know, you read Acts chapter 2, and it's crazy, Bob, because you read it, and when they are doing these signs and wonders that boggled people's minds, it says that the people were repulsed and ran away in droves. No. It says that the numbers were added daily. Yeah, they went from 12 to 2,000 in, what was it, 30 days? Think about that. Whew. And I think I want it to be on my terms, the way that I think it should be organized. And what's crazy is that every single person, if I use the word revival, you have your own thoughts of what it should look like in your own head. And if it's not that way, then we want to shut it down. What if revival comes with someone that's not you? Are you okay if they come and they don't dress like this? But they dress with holes in their jeans? Are you okay if during that worship service that it's the songs that aren't your jam? Yeah, we sing songs here that I'm like, eh, whatever. And there's songs I'm like, that's my jam. But do I go, in my mind, I'll wait till it's the good song and then I'll really press in? I mean, I guess you got to ask yourself this question. Are we trying to get a move of God, or are we trying to get God to move for us? Because a move of God means he comes in the way he wants and how he wants. When we're trying to move God, we want to put him in the corner and say, and here's my God. Can I tell you the scariest thing about God? You can't control him. You can't. We got to ask ourselves if we want a move of God at all cost, no matter what. I've got so much more notes, but there is no way I'm getting there, and I'll continue next week. But one thing I want to do right now, and I feel like this is the perfect spot. I think it's gut check time. Gut check time. I'm going to read this real quick. I have had a privilege of laying hands on the sick and watching them recover. I've seen, like, it happen so fast, instantaneously, when I prayed for somebody. I would tell my friends, my other pastors, and they would get excited about it. Because we can all understand that Jesus healed people. But there are aspects of our lives that I don't understand. And I'm going to be the first one today, with everybody looking at me, saying, there are different things that God has been doing moves that I have criticized because they're not my moves. And I'm finding myself this week with a shift going, why does it got to be my way? The Bible's very clear. Things will be done in decency and in order. That's clear. But you know one thing it doesn't say? And preference. Things will be done decency and order, but the word preference isn't listed there. Sometimes I wonder if our Western culture of options have gotten in our ways. Remember back in the day, Dave, when your mom would make food, and if you said, I don't like it, you went to bed hungry? Your option was eat or not. Now it's, what do you want, baby? You want a peanut butter and jelly? I'll go get a pizza. We'll run to McDonald's. We're going through all these options. And can I tell you, God's options are, it's my way or the highway. And that's not a mean thing. Because when it comes to be his way, everyone benefits. when it comes to be my way, I benefit. And when it's my preference, then it's my way. And I get to get everything that I want, and I don't really care if EJ gets what she wants because I got what I want. And what we realize is that we've created a very selfish church where it's my way. It's my song, it's my message, it's my preacher, it's my offering, it's my this. You can raise one hand, but not two. Keep them at elbow length. Maybe do the touchdown symbol. Whatever it is. I had a church when we were getting ready to leave. I knew a transition was taking place from leaving Southwest Florida, and this pastor calls me out of nowhere. Not nowhere, Alabama. Like, I just wasn't expecting it. And he calls and is offering us to come up and take this job. And he was offering more than double what I make now. And I prayed hard. And I'll never forget, he goes, so I understand your church is a lot more charismatic than ours, but hey, listen, every once in a while, like, hey, I'll throw a hand up. And I'm like, okay, good for you. And since then, that's been 5 years, that phrase has bothered me for 5 years. Not because he's wrong, but because I realized really quick he was trying to take my preferences and make it okay. Can I tell you, I've had some bad experiences with church people, as most of y'all have. Like, I have seen some weirdos that were not full of God. Anybody else witness? I've also had the horrible disdain of eating bad pizza. Anybody had a bad piece of pizza? Just was bad. Did you ever eat pizza again? Probably the next day. But when it comes to the move of God, like I go, I had that bad one. Nope, I'm done. Now, there are some things that are just not scriptural, and we'll go through that. Sure. God has made us above the animals, not below. So clucking like a chicken, acting like a snake, mooing like a cow, that's not God. It's just not. In fact, the only time I see somebody mooing like a cow is Nebuchadnezzar when he was cursed by God. So becoming animalistic is not the presence of God. And if you're worried about that, don't worry, that's not God. That's you. Or whatever else is inside of you, but it ain't God. There are a lot of things that I can do my best to explain, and I can show it scripturally. And then there's some things that have to have the ability to relinquish control, to go that, you know what, just because he's God, okay. 1 Corinthians tells us that we are to test the Spirit. Can I tell you, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. And when we all come together and we go, something's happening, and people go, yeah, 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 even though it doesn't make sense to my mind, today I'm committing to you, I'm going to be okay with it. Because I want that fountain that doesn't run dry. I want that experience where people who are hungry and thirsty for the presence of God. Doesn't mean that we're better or worse than anybody else, but I know that there's a mantle over this house for the move of God to move the river region. And it's going to happen in unconventional. It's going to happen in ways that may seemingly don't make sense. It's going to happen in ways that are going to cause a lot of questions. And you have to go, I'm okay with not being able to explain the why. But I can explain the results. I can't understand why they danced like they did, but I can tell you that they were once bound and now they're free. I can't understand scripturally why somebody is painting in the corner, but all I do know is somebody else walked in and saw that painting and said, I had that dream, there must be God. I've experienced that. I can't tell you all the ins and outs and the whys, but today I want you to start off with this. Am I willing? Are you willing to say, I relinquish the right for control? Don't say it. Don't say it unless that's you. Don't say that is you, unless it is you. Unless you can say, I'm okay with people coming in that I don't necessarily agree with what they do or don't do, or address or don't dress, or smell or don't smell. I'm okay with moves of God that I can't understand or I can't understand. I'm okay with experiences that don't make sense. And I'm okay at a Thursday afternoon in the middle of a Costco walking through and God says, give a word, that I may give a word that may cause things to break through inside of a Thursday at a Costco. But what I can tell you is this, is that once we let go of control and we have no more reservations, God's move is coming. I can't tell you when. That's not up to me. And that's not up to you. It's up to him. But I can promise you this, as long as we have reservations, he ain't coming. He's not. No, I'm not. I'm not going to do that. So with everybody's eyes up, head up, looking around, with everybody staring at you, if you're committing to I'm willing and wanting a move of God at all cost, at all cost, at all cost, embarrassment cost, not playing my music cost, it's too loud or too quiet cost, it's too bright or too dark cost, it's the colors of the stage change or don't change cost, if people are dancing cost, if people are not making sense cost, if you want a move of God at all costs, and again, please hear me, we are having order and we will have it in decency. We're not having a free-for-all. Trust me, you know my dad. But we are having a move of God at all costs. If that's you and you're agreeing with that, I don't want you to raise your hands. I want you standing up. If that's not you, cool. No judgment. You do you. But if that's you, yeah. Man, God, just move. Move on your people today. I just ask that you breathe your presence. Breathe on your people today. Just roll in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We worship your name. We glorify your name. That God, we just thank you that this is the beginning of that move. It's the beginning of the move. It's the beginning. Our hearts are positioned for your presence like we've never experienced it before. Come on, church, just lean in and pray with me for a second. I don't care if you pray in English or Spanish, or if you have your spiritual language, whatever. Just begin to bring, oh, yeah, God, we just worship you today. We glorify your name today. We just say move. Yeah. Move, God. I just think that right now words of knowledge are coming forth. The prophetic is being unlocked. The keys are, the keys are, I just thank you. That's what I see a treasure chest that's been chained up. I see keys going in to unlock and open. God, I just thank you that gifts of healing and miracles like we've never experienced. The lost, God. God, moves of the Holy Spirit like we've never experienced before. Your presence coming in unconventional ways, God. I just thank you, Father God, right now that there's going to be moves that we are, that our senses, our five, that we will taste and see that the Lord is good, that we will hear your voice, oh God, that we will be able to sense your presence, God. I just thank you that we will be able to see. I just thank you right now, God, that we're going to have testimonies of people who say, hey, I just saw an angel. I saw the presence of God. I saw beams of light. I saw whatever it may be. I'm prophesying that right now in the atmosphere. I don't care who's watching. God, I just thank you that right now that our people are going to begin to see things that they've never seen before and hear things that they've never heard before. They're going to sense your presence at all times, God. I just thank you that wherever they go, they're going to have words for people, God, that they're going to see something inside of somebody and have a word instantaneously for that person, God, that no one else can see. God, I just thank you for a move. That it's not my move. That it's not my revival. It's about you. God, I just think you have a better vantage point than I do. And when you say something is needed, it's needed. Even if I can't see it. Today, with those standing, we relinquish our rights of control. And we say, not our way, God. Not our will, God. But your will be done. Your will be done. On earth, not just in heaven, but here in Millbrook, Alabama, your will be done on earth now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Move, God. I just don't feel ready to release yet. Don't worry, it's not 12. We got time. We just thank you, God, that we don't have to be controlled by time, God. Jesus, 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 move. Move, move. There is a dry land that is ready for some water. God, bring rain in this place. My God, I don't even care if it's visible. I don't care anymore. If I don't have you, what's the point? Today, God, there's many of us who are going to repent from boxing you up, me being included. I know you and I have had this conversation, but I want to do it again in front of people. But God, I repent today of trying to do it my way, of trying to say it and have it my way, and that if there was going to be a move of God, that it needed to be in these parameters, and to have this kind of move, and to be looked like this and sound like that, and so on and so forth. God, today I say, you know what? I trust you. God, that's the word. That's the word, trust. God, I trust you today. We trust you today. That today is the beginning of an ultimate trust fall, knowing you will catch us, that you will protect us, that you will guide us. We trust you today with everything. Our reputations, our lives, everything, God. We commit everything to you. Our mindsets, our wealth, our time. We commit it all to you today. In your name. Amen. And amen. And amen. Amen. I don't know, Mom. We're going to do one more thing. I want you to grab the hand of the person next to you. In the early church, we see that they would gather together daily, together. They'd break bread, they would pray. And then they would experience God's presence. If you read Acts chapter 1, that hadn't happened. So from Acts chapter 2 through the book of Revelation, they were figuring it out as they went along. But there's a key word in Acts chapter 2, they were in unity. They cared more about the move of God than they did about anything else. So right now, as you're holding hands, as you're connecting. As a symbol of connecting our church body together, I want you to understand that people are going to make mistakes. But God's grace is bigger than a mistake. There are going to be times where we're going to have to say, hey, let's reel it back in a little bit. Bible says he corrects those he loves. And when we do that, it's because we want that just the way that's done, the way he wants it. So there's no shame. There'll be no embarrassment. We're not going to hold anybody against anything. But we will forever lift each other up in brotherly and sisterly love, looking for a common goal. We may not all agree on everything, but our core move at this church, at New Life, is this will be a place where the presence is valued at all costs. Amen? So God, unite us together. We just thank you for this move. We just thank you that we are together moving forward. Shift us, move us, whatever you have to do, Father God. This week, as we walk out, even today, and families go home to eat lunch together, bring up, God, into their remembrance, things that maybe they have held on to that they need to let go. Preconditions that they need to let go of, God. Bad experiences that they need to get healed from. And today, God, I just think that this is going to be a moment not of hype, not of just having emotionalism, but a move of God that is truly sanctified in who you are, in your name. Amen. Amen. Tomorrow night, we have prayer. So be here for that. Wednesday night, we have service. We love you guys. Y'all are dismissed, I guess.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Have a great week.